talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
She said, don't come home if you go to the bar. So I said, okay, baby, then got drunk out in the yard. 2 a.m., I knock, knock, knock up on the door. But she never unlocked, locked it, guess I don't live there no more. Yeah, she meant business this time. I can't believe my bloodshot eyes. I woke up on the wrong side of the truck.
Good morning. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to another edition of Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song is Truck Bed by Hardy, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. We also organized the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happened a couple of months ago. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We'll be talking with Curry Bates and Nelvin Gonzalez with Charleston Landscape, also Christy Kohler, interior designer Christy Kohler with CK Design Group, and then finally Jason Rose with Exceptional Electrical Contractors. Well, this is an exciting time with regards to Charleston Home and Design Magazine. Pick up the spring issue of Charleston Home and Design, just was released this week. Have a great weekend.
And talking to us now is Curry Bates and Nelvin Gonzalez with Charleston Landscape. How are you folks doing?
Hey, we're doing great. How about yourself?
Just fine. Thank you. Take a moment and tell all our listeners about Charleston Landscape.
Yeah, so Charleston Landscape is a luxury outdoor design build company here in Charleston. We were founded back in 2006, so we've been around for some time, and we offer complete design builds. So we're able to start your project from conceptual designs and take it all the way through the installation phase, which allows us to bring you a seamless project.
Gotcha. Okay. And when you say design build, are you talking about creating the design for the landscape? I know a lot of neighborhood HOAs require, for instance, if you're planning to change the outside of your house, or maybe you're building a house and they require a landscape plan in advance to approve. Is that something Charleston Landscape can help folks with?
Yep, that's exactly what we do. So we'll actually handle that whole process for you as well, so that you don't even have to reach out to your HOA. We'll go through the whole permitting process with your HOA. And of course, we'll provide you with detailed drawings prior to us ever putting a shovel in the ground, so that you know exactly what it is that you are going to be getting and exactly what your yard's going to look like prior to us getting started. So we're able to offer that full design phase. And of course, we go back and forth with the client as much as needed, as many revisions as needed, to make sure that we get it just right before we get started.
Gotcha. Talk about the different types of services that Charleston Landscape offers.
Yeah, so Charleston Landscape, we're a little bit different than some of the other landscapers in town. Currently, we don't offer any sort of maintenance services. So, you know, no mowing and blowing. We offer construction services. So we come in from the ground up, and we start with your landscape irrigation system. We'll install your irrigation system. We can do drainage if you have any sort of drainage issues. Charleston is notorious for flooding yards. So we're able to address all of those drainage issues. We're able to install outdoor lighting. We do outdoor kitchens and pergolas. We do outdoor fire pits, fences. I mean, pretty much you name it, synthetic turf, anything, once you kind of step out of the doors, your front door, or your back door, we're able to help with that. A large portion of our business is hardscape. So we do driveways with pavers and concrete, brickwork. We're able to do entry monuments, you know, deck extensions, screened in porches, all sorts of any outdoor construction that you need.
Wow, that's impressive. Especially the construction projects that you're mentioning that go beyond the installation and design and installation of the plantings and things like that. So, Charleston Landscape covers quite a few different disciplines there, and I'm sure that makes it very convenient for the homeowner that they don't have to reach out to a fence builder, or they want to do something with extending a deck or building a screen porch, which is going to impact the landscaping around the house.
Exactly. You know, a lot of our clients love that they don't have to reach out to 5-10 different contractors and have to do all of the scheduling and the coordination of all of that. It makes it a lot more seamless when we're handling all the facets of it, so that you don't have to stress about that. And, you know, we're able to make sure that it flows very smoothly. Of course, we never want to work backwards. So we know exactly what needs to go in first to make sure that we're not damaging any other work. And yeah, it makes it a lot more of a stress-free process for the homeowners, which people definitely like.
I remember a friend of mine telling me when I first moved here in 1990, he said, if you're going to do anything in your, if you want to have a, any kind of beautiful, yard, you definitely have to have a irrigation system installed here in the Charleston area. Why is that important?
That is definitely true. Here in Charleston, our weather is just, as everybody here knows, it's very hot, then very cold, and, you know, jumps around all over. Having an irrigation system is going to take care of all of that for you. We install all smart Wi-Fi devices where it actually can, you know, connect with the weather channel, and it will increase or decrease the amount of water that it's putting into your yard based on what your yard needs at that time with the weather. So if we're going to have, you know, a couple days of rain in a row, then your system will automatically shut itself off. That way you're saving money. You don't need to be watering your yard when Mother Nature's doing it for you. And then as well, you know, we have very, very hot summers here in Charleston, and it can be a little bit difficult on some of the plant material. And so it's nice to not have to worry about any of that and have everything be hands-free and have the system take care of your yard for you. That way everything's flourishing, everything looks nice, and you don't even have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Is there a particular project that comes to mind that you maybe can tell us about that Charleston Landscape, that you're particularly proud of that Charleston Landscape was involved with?
Yeah, I'll let Nelvin, who is our project manager, speak on that. We've got quite a few projects that we're very proud of, but one in particular, I'll let Nelvin speak on that.
Hey guys, yeah, so there's actually a few that we just recently finished that I'm just very, very proud of. One of them being on Daniel Island, that was roughly, I would say, a little bit over $500,000. You know, there was a little bit of everything. So it was definitely, you know, with the scale at home being so big and, you know, all the other trades that were involved, it was a little bit of a challenge. It was an interesting project. You know, we did pretty much the full driveway, which was over 100 feet long, 12 feet wide. You know, we did the basketball court. We did the fences. We did all the landscape lighting. We actually brought massive 12-inch, 30-foot-tall live oaks that had to be craned and set in place, and, you know, water monitored daily to ensure the survivability of those trees. So that's one of them that is very, very special to me that we just finished this year. And then I also have did one in Old Village in Mount Pleasant that recently got presented in your guys' magazine that's going to come up in the next publishing. That it's also amazing. It's more of a classic Charleston look with a lot of brick, a lot of handwork, a lot of bluestone, and just beautiful plant material and some beautiful Corten steel walls that not a lot of people know that you can do. And, you know, we work with a very special LA firm in Charleston that loves to install that type of product. And it just gives the homes a very, very elegant but rustic look. So, yeah, those are the two projects that to date I am very, very proud of.
That one on Daniel Island, the long driveway, what material did you use for the driveway?
Yeah, so that was a 80-millimeter Tekablock sleek paver.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's a pretty heavy-duty paver with a lot of gravel base. Now in Daniel Island, you know, due to the, you know, the amount of homes, concrete's not an option anymore, as they want you to do pervious now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a lot of work when it came to excavation, building that lot, and a lot of gravel went in. You know, we put in almost, I'll say, 48 inches worth of base. So almost 4 foot worth of base underneath that driveway, just to ensure that, you know, we're collecting all that water from the surface.
Mm, yeah. And if folks may not be familiar with that term pervious, but can you tell our listeners what that means?
Yeah, so we have two options when it comes to surfaces. We have non-pervious that water doesn't percolate through, and then we have a pervious surface that it could be concrete, it could be pavers, it could be aggregate, it could be rock-based, and it's just, you know, for water to go through it. It allows water to permeate through the ground and slowly dissipate. So that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. Instead of it just running off into the street and down the storm drain, and which people don't, it's out of sight, out of mind. People don't realize that a storm drain goes straight to one of our rivers. And so, you know, I've in years past, I've seen people put motor oil down the storm drain, for example, and they just don't realize what where it goes and so forth. But helps the groundwater to have those pervious pavers have that water be able to percolate down, as you said, into the groundwater. That's the best way to go. And
correct.
4 feet of gravel, those pavers aren't going to move either, are they?
No, they're not going to move on you. And, you know, we secure all of our borders with 6 inches of mortar underneath, not through the side, that we can allow grass to grow through the paver, you know, to the pavers. So, yeah, they're definitely not going to go anywhere. They're not going to move. So it's a very, very secure system. And just the pavers themselves, they're so heavy that they're not going anywhere. I mean, these pavers were 24 inches by 36 inches long,
and
80 millimeters. So each paver weighed probably 150 pounds.
Ooh. So, I bet there were some sore backs with your guys after that.
No, that's the cool thing about Charleston landscape. I don't kill my boys when it comes to the labor. I do invest in equipment that allows them to, you know, pick up these stones like they're nothing. So they're well protected over here.
Well, this is coming from someone who my wife and I installed a paver patio, and we said this, that we'll never do it again. We'll always have someone install that. And speaking of which, you're talking about some pretty big projects there. What if someone did want just a paver patio or a place in their backyard with a fire pit that they can gather around? Does Charleston Landscape work on some of those smaller projects?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we don't quite, you know, focus on just the, you know, multi-million dollar projects. We do everything. We don't want to say no to anybody. We do have, unfortunately, you know, a number that we have to stick with, but anything between, I'll say, 6,000 and above, we can take care of. So we'll take small projects.
Right, right. Do you ever have any of your customers at Charleston Landscape that they opt to have their landscaping installed in phases so that they can maybe they don't want to spend all that money up all at once?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so I just did we just did two or three of them in the past few months, and you know, we kind of split them, you know, depending on the project, three phases, four phases. We do whatever it takes to accommodate you guys. The only thing I care is pretty much being able to do the landscape and just, you know, deliver that project. So yeah, we can phase anything.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Is springtime is traditionally a lot of homeowners are making changes to the inside and outside of their homes. When would be is this a good time to maybe start talking to Charleston Landscape about doing like a landscape makeover on the front of the back or both of their both sides of their home, or when is usually the best time for something like that?
No, yeah, definitely. That's the cool thing about our beautiful state of South Carolina. We're kind of in that midpoint. You know, we don't freeze a lot. We don't get that Florida scorching weather. So we're like in a perfect spot. In South Carolina, you can really landscape all year round. There's really not a bad time on when you can't landscape your home. So, but springtime is always better because a lot of people don't understand that plant material, when we ship from different parts of the states, it could be dormant. So a lot of people don't understand that you bring a plant, you know, let's just say December, and it's just a bunch of sticks. So, you know, this time of year is a little bit better, especially if your client is a little bit more, let's just say, picky, and he wants his house, the moment that it's installed, it's all green, it's all the plants are blooming. So, you know, if you're looking for that, and then you understand how the plant material works, you know, this time of year will be the time of year as everything's going to be green. Everything's going to be coming back. You know, we're going to get, you know, springtime's coming. So all your plant materials that are going to be blooming, they're going to arrive to your home with flowers. So if we're going to put it in preferences, yeah, I will plant now.
Mm, gotcha. Yeah. I just noticed, a house in our neighborhood where, they had just installed sod about 6-8 weeks ago, and it's just been brown the whole time, and that's discouraging, I'm sure, for a homeowner. But it's just starting to green up now and take root. So definitely got to be patient with that. Curry, we're almost out of time, but You mentioned that Charleston Landscape has been in business since 2006. Can you talk about a little bit about how Charleston Landscape got started and your background and everything?
Yeah, certainly. So my uncle actually is who founded Charleston Landscape in 2006. He had been doing landscape his entire life and decided that he wanted to start his own company. And so he founded it back in 2006 and built it up to the size that we are today. And I came on board with Charleston Landscape probably five or six years ago, and kind of worked my way up, went through all the different phases, started, you know, it's just as an administrator and worked up to being a project manager, and went through that whole phase. And unfortunately, my uncle, Chris, he actually passed away due to cancer about 11 months ago. And since then, I have decided to keep the business running. So I purchased the company and have kept it running, and we're you know, under new ownership, and we're definitely growing, and we're excited for the future. I'm excited to be able to, you know, keep his dream alive, and the family's excited that we're able to keep it in the family and keep Charleston Landscape going, and, you know, keep his legacy going, and keep building on what he has already created this to be. So it's, you know, it's an exciting time for us over here at Charleston Landscape. Obviously, you know, a sad time as well, but you know, the future is looking very bright for us, so we're definitely excited and looking forward to that.
Well, that's great. Well, how can folks get in touch with Charleston Landscape?
Certainly. So the easiest way is to just give us a call. Our phone number is 843-296-7592, or you can go to charlestonlandscape.com. At charlestonlandscape.com, you can check out some of our work that we do, read some of our recent reviews that we've gotten, and as well, there's a submission form online where you can enter in your information, and somebody on the team will give you a call.
Gotcha. Well, congratulations on purchasing the company, and whoever was forward thinking enough to grab that web address, charlestonlandscape.com, that was really, really smart of them.
Yes, indeed. We're glad that we've got the name, and it's it's great.
Well, that's great. Well, we have been talking with Curry Bates and Nelvin Gonzalez with Charleston Landscape, and you can always find Charleston Landscape when you do a search on the net, charlestonlandscape.com, and also within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. Thanks, Curry and Nelvin.
Thank you so much.
And talking to us now is interior designer Christy Kohler with CK Design Group. How are you, Christy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Christy, take a moment and tell our listeners all about CK Design Group.
Okay. I started this company, I would say, about 17 years ago, based in New York metro area, New Jersey. I was married at the time, so I had, you know, a small basement office, and I had gotten a degree at the New York School of Interior Design, so I was very passionate about this, but this was a second career. So it came from the financial stuff in New York. So set myself up, and sure enough, a few years later, I had a bookkeeper and I had an assistant, and so I grew the business. Generally, it's the last 2 years have been the biggest growth for me. 2 or 3 years, I've been doing projects all over the country. We are doing full service design. So we get in on the ground floor. We try to deal with the architect, review the plans. We do the construction. We deliver drawings. So, I mean, it's been a real learning curve for me. I had to bring in all the right talent or outsource certain things. So, you know, trying to hit the nail on the head with the cost of this business and what it costs people and the service and the value of the service. So, you know, it's just been it's a challenge, and it's been really fun for me. It's a challenge every day as the economy is changing and costs have gone up. You know, I've got a real, you know, a complicated business on my hands, but I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But it's complex, and I think there's real value to explaining to people in the beginning what we do and how we do it and how we charge.
Right. Well, Christy, when someone is building a custom home or doing a remodel project, not every homeowner hires an architect, for example. They sometimes use other means. And by the same token, not everyone hires an interior designer if you're building a custom home or have a remodel project. But those people who have used an interior designer in the past will never do a project without an interior designer going forward. And but some homeowners are not clear about what an interior designer, how they can help the homeowner in the project. And they just think of an interior designer as someone who helps pick out the furniture and arranges it and things like that. How can an interior designer help a homeowner more than just that?
Okay. Well, I like to look at it as It is a mountain of decisions. And the idea that the designer just helps, you know, truly what happens is when there's real trust and it's a good relationship with the builder and the client, a lot of decisions are made by us because it's just overwhelming for people. And then there's decisions they don't know can be made as the construction is happening. So like you said, someone who's used a design team versus, you know, or when they go forward and do another project, they won't do it without the designer again, because, you know, it's just like we know our business. It's small decisions. It's little quarter inch decisions that make a difference. There's cabinetry, there's flooring, there's transitions, there's window heights, there's scale. There are a million aspects to a room that people don't know can change, and they can dramatically change the feel of the room. So, I mean, if you're going through and you honestly, you know, can't afford to bring in a designer, I think what happens is you become reliant on the builder.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and the architect. The architect will sometimes give you some preliminary floor plans. But you know, you're without, it's like you don't have the tools. Mm-hmm. You don't have the design team to tell you, well, if the mullions were black, you would create this look. Or if your windows were 7 feet tall in this room, you would create a different feel. And so, I mean, I've just helped friends here and there. They come to me with decisions and they've called me all the time and said, it dramatically changed my room. And, you know, so I'm like, see, I mean, if you go through the process without someone that's a professional, you know, you don't get the same results. Mm-hmm. For sure.
This is not the best example, but, you know, there's a reason people don't cut their own hair, for example. They rely on someone else to make them look good. And if you're a homeowner and you're going it alone, or you're relying on the general contractor to give you design advice, another frequent thing that happens frequently is when they visit the tile store, they start, or the lighting store, or the, you know, stone countertop store, they end up hitting up those showroom design consultants for advice on the whole project. And
there are
all these pieces of the puzzle, and not one single lighting specialist or tile specialist can see the whole picture like an interior designer does. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, exactly. So a home should be a theme. And having done several homes, many homes, you know, we have a process. And it starts off with the materials. So you talk about stone and tile. Those are construction materials. Those are permanent. So they're creating the backdrop of the house. You know, as a rule, I don't select furniture. That's stage two. Your stage one is setting up the backdrop. So what trim is going in? What size of the trim is going in? What style? Is there no trim? Is it all knife edge? Is it wood flooring throughout? And what color is the wood flooring? Is the tile all going to be light and give an airy feel? Is it white? Is it color? Are you bringing vibrant color? So you want to be consistent. You want to choose those materials, your metals, your finishes, your textures, your trim style, your window style, your doors, then you can move on to stage two is where, you know, soft furnishings, rugs, furniture. None of that can be chosen until the other stuff is defined.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come in later in projects, you know, people will just be having a breakdown and they'll call me, you know, we get that sometimes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have to work with the existing decisions that have been made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so what did you get? What so far, where are you? And then we try to piece that together on a board and make some semblance of a great home. Because the results are that it's consistent theme. You know, when I see it, when I ask people, what home did you love? Did you in a magazine or on a HGTV? Well, they always show me something that's just a consistent flow. Mm. You know, like a well-designed hotel, or that is professional design. You don't change the moldings when you move from room to room. You don't change the doors. So all of those things are so important. So it's a lot of decisions. And if people are a little bit afraid to make them, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but it seems like there's an awful lot of pressure on the, if it's a husband, wife that are having a project done, there's a lot of pressure on the wife that they should be able to make those design decisions on their own and versus, you know, hiring a professional. Do you find that? Because it's right. Totally untrue.
Oh, right. Well, then it's the money factor. So the husband will tell them that they really can't afford to bring in the designers. You know, if we've proposed estimated fees, whatever. Yeah, and I think that's a discussion they have to have. I work with a lot of great clients, and a lot of these women are my friends today. And, you know, they're really honest with their partner, and the house will come out dramatically better if we work with Christy.
Yeah.
You know, we can rein her in. We can keep her to X number of hours a month. I mean, I do work that way. But with, you know, when they're just honest that we can't make these decisions, and, you know, it may disrupt our family life because I'm going to be really stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Homeowners, and I have so much respect for those building professionals and design professionals that can look at a set of plans and envision exactly how it'll look when it's constructed. Mm-hmm. And homeowners can't. They you know, it's they marvel when someone gives them a 3D version of their project or something like that. But there's a mountain of decisions that have to be made, and those are all very expensive decisions, and there's so much pressure to not make the wrong decision. That
it's very costly, hugely costly. Yeah.
And I've always heard through the years how hiring an interior designer will actually save you money. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. I am, because I came from the finance business, I am very much into showing them where I save them money and what they don't need to spend money on. So, yeah, sometimes I'm baffled by what people will spend on certain things. And when I show them there is a nicer way to achieve this same look, and then let's save that $3,000 and we'll use it somewhere else. So I approach projects like that. I think if someone comes in and shows you exactly the size sectional that's going to make the best use of that room and the rug size, like, it's worth a lot to people. Mm-hmm. Because their value of their home, you know, for resale or when they show it, you've maximized the room, the real estate. That goes for kitchens too. I mean, that's the big one. Kitchen is 60% of the value of the home, I've heard, or something. So your main spaces, your main public areas in the home, I try to focus on those, and I try to get the best benefit. Just maximize every inch of the height. You know, pull the eye up, use light fixtures, lighten up the space, trim it out so it's clean. You know, there are a lot of tricks to that, and a lot of stagers use them too, but it's illusion we're creating. So, yeah, we're maximizing the value and saving money during the construction because decisions are made quickly, and they're honestly I can't say we're never wrong, but we're 99%. We we can't make mistakes in this business. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with this business. One of the hardest challenges is bringing in detail-oriented specifiers and team that are going to check, double check, triple check, so that we don't order a 35-inch pot that's not going to fit somewhere, you know, little things like that. Mm-hmm. So decisions cost, or bad decisions will cost us.
Yeah, I've used this example before when I've talked to other interior designers on the radio show about how I had a relative who she and my uncle redid their kitchen, and they really wanted an island, but there really wasn't room. They didn't change the footprint of the kitchen, and they ordered an island online, and it came in a box. My uncle put it together, and then it was way too big for the space, and but it had already been ordered and paid for. It already been assembled, and there it was, and they were going to live with it, and that meant, you know, having to kind of turn your body as you ducked around corners and things of the island. And those are the kind of decisions that if you run that by your interior designer, he or she is going to immediately say, oh no, there's not enough space. And, you know, and it sounds like you're going to be able to offer an alternative idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called looking at it on paper, on the drawing board. So we all use that term. And honestly, I don't throw out advice when I'm just standing on site with someone. I always say I have to look at it, you know, on CAD.
Mm-hmm. How much?
And we draw everything. We draw absolutely everything. We draw elevations because we do them so quick now. I mean, there's a lot of AI tools, honestly, that are being used. And if you're smart, you know about them, that we can do things much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I'm doing a front door. It's 11 feet tall right now in a house in Florida. And we've got to set up some planters that are going to flank the door. And, you know, that was just a quick spec that I had to send out. And we have a tool that draws that for us and shows us how it's going to fit.
Mm.
So you see this stuff on HGTV, but it is becoming more accessible. So as a rule, because I'm running several projects and we're really busy, so I draw everything. And I let them know, like, where that fixture, the chandelier is going to hang, is going to be too low. So you got to, you know, raise it. This is exactly where it should go. So I don't need to be there when they hang it. And that's another big mistake people make. They drop a light fixture too low or too high. Rug sizes are always a little bit wrong. They're not big enough. I mean, I have a whole list of things that I see when I walk into people's homes.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm sure you view things through a completely different lens than, and you probably have to be very polite and not point those
flaws
out.
Yeah, no, I never
out.
Say anything.
If
they ask me, you know, I can find a gentle diplomatic way.
Well, besides saving the homeowner from making costly mistakes, I think one of the biggest reasons for using an interior designer is that to reduce the chance that there are going to be regrets at the end of the project. And I think there's a mentality that homeowners have that, okay, we have made the decision to devote X amount of dollars to this project, and therefore, they immediately jump to the conclusion that everything is going to be great at the end. And it is possible to spend all that money and still not be completely satisfied at the end of the project, and to have those regrets that you just have to live with. And it's such an expensive process that...
Yeah.
You know, people do more research on buying a car than they do on, the project that they have. And homeowners have to become instant experts at all sorts of different aspects of the house or the project that's going on. It's mm-hmm. almost impossible to do that. And, you know, that's where an interior designer can really help.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think that concepts, Pinterest is a great app right now for people to throw their concepts into a folder and send it to us. or they just have them because they love finding images of things they love. But, you know, I like to think we're very quick at discerning their look. Once we see an idea book, we've got it. So, but even if you are that talented, you know, male or female, and you have a look that you're going for, and you bring that to us, there's still the process. And so I always say, like, you need a home professional, a home design professional, to kind of walk the walk with you and guide you. Because even if you have all those great ideas and they work together and they're beautiful on paper and in images and photographs, it isn't the same as procuring it. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of things go way off track when they actually start.
How much does the general contractor or builder, how much do they appreciate having CK Design Group involved in a project?
Oh, they love it. I mean, the ones where we have built good rapport, they see the value. You know, they're professional builders, and their work is better when they work with a good team. I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, we're trusted. I fall on the sword, not all the time, but if things are wrong and I've given the wrong spec and something's an inch off and doesn't fit, you know, I'm not going to blame anyone. If it's our team that did it, you know, I've been known to call it out on a call, and that was our mistake. And then, you know, we've got to afford to fix that. Mm-hmm. But A, you have to have trust. It's like any business. You have to have a team. You have to have trust. The builders have to be good. They have to be seasoned a little bit. They have to have seen some high-end stuff, because sometimes the levels don't match up. So we could talk about doing a plastered wall. Well, if they've only seen, you know, a cheap version of one, and they haven't really worked with a good plaster artisan, then they won't know what we're speccing. So sometimes, you know, we have to sort of align with experience level.
Mm-hmm. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you, there's been a lot of change in the industry. Can you tell our listeners about that quickly?
Well, I think it goes with the economy and inflation, everything else going on. I think people are really just examining and parsing through costs more than probably ever. So, yeah, there's more need for definition of what we do and how we charge. So that, I think that's one of the biggest changes. I also think that the millennials are looking for furniture that isn't long lasting. It just looks cool. So there's a big market turnaround for furniture. Furniture can be bought knowing you're going to probably replace it in 7 years. And it hasn't always been that way. Mm-hmm. You know, 20 years ago, we bought furniture that was going to last forever. So furniture has changed. It's more ready to ship pieces from great vendors. Market is coming up next week, and I'm going. It's going to be fun. But a lot of stocked, ready-to-ship pieces that are trendy, and the prices are lower. So, you know,
those are
the two big changes.
What about the transparency in what interior designers charge in terms of their fees?
Well, you know, explaining things up front, explaining there's fees involved is probably more work than a client estimates it's going to be. It's just more time consuming than they estimate. But putting together a nice room, you know, starts at $2,500 and goes up from there. The value they're getting with that room is every piece is spec'd exactly the size. There's nothing for them to do. Mm-hmm. So it's the curating of the room. So maybe they might balk and think that's a high price, but it really isn't when you look at what goes into it. we are drawing, so I have to have skilled people doing those drawings, but we're responsible. We're responsible for the end result. Fireplace height, the TV height, the lighting, all of it is, all of it's positioned. So honestly, I think it's a deal.
Yeah. And once a homeowner gets a taste of what an interior designer can do to help them, they almost become addicted to that, and they won't mm-hmm. make another decision without talking to their interior designer. Right? They become interior designer junkies.
Yeah, they are. I have a lot of projects in my book with a lot of the women still call me for one-off things, or their son bought a place in Hoboken. We recently had something where, you know, we were given some architectural plans and we helped them out. So yeah, it just goes on. And it's home after home. I have several clients I've done like two or three homes for.
Mm. Well, that says a lot about
you. They become junkies. Yeah. And then they try to go retail shopping and they call me and say, I can't find it. Because right. I'm like, well, the size isn't going to be there. You have to go to the trade and buy it through them. So yeah, that's a whole nother radio interview.
Right. Well, how can folks get more information about CK Design Group and how they can get in touch with you?
Instagram is one of the biggest social media for me. I post a lot of my current projects on there. So we're CK Design, and CK Design Inc. is the website. Got an office in Charleston and an office in New Jersey. So they'll see all the information on those sites. So my social media links. I also use House, which is kind of a offshoot of Facebook. A lot of people like to use it, and some people don't even know about it. So
is that different from House?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if I pronounced that right. House.
H-O-U-Z-Z.
Z-Z,
yeah, House.
Yes, yep. Exactly. Yeah, I have a lot of portfolio on there. So we try to keep that up to date. But mostly it's Instagram. This is a fun. Instagram's been fun. Mm. Now that gives a feel. The reels and the videos give a feel for the construction and what we do.
Well, good deal. And you can always find CK Design Group in the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and also on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with interior designer Christy Kohler with CK Design Group. Thanks so much, Christy.
Thank you, Tim. Nice talking to you.
And now we're talking with electrician Jason Rose with Exceptional Electrical Contractors. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning, Tim. It's a pleasure.
Jason, take a moment and tell everyone about your electrical contracting company, Exceptional Electrical Contractors.
Yes, Tim. We're a small organization out in the Somerville area. We do residential and commercial electrical services. Everything from home standby generators to your simple, switching out devices and fixtures and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. All right. Sounds good. And Jason, I understand that you are a United States Air Force veteran. Thank you so much for your service.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you as well, Tim.
How does that help you, your experience in the Air Force, how does that help you as an electrician today?
It's given me the foundation for my business model. Do excellence first in everything that you do, because if you don't have that in integrity, there's really not much point going beyond that. It's taught me to deal with challenging situations, to be an effective communicator. And to the resiliency that, if a project goes astray, how to, deal with that and bring it back on course. And like I said, be able to communicate with our clients to fulfill their desire with what it is they're trying to do with their residents and their project.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, what types of projects does Exceptional Electrical Contracting work on?
We do a lot of, like I said, residential and small commercial jobs. We've done everything from home standby generators to complete house builds. We recently just finished a 5,400 square foot project over in the Jedburgh area. That was a full custom built house that we pre-wired for a home standby generator. They had an advanced electrical lighting system in it, and several other key elements that really required a great deal of attention to detail to get it done right the first time.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so wiring an entire new construction home, that's definitely something that's part of your sweet spot as far as what exceptional electrical contractors, the work that you folks can do. Is there what about smaller jobs?
Yes, Tim, we do everything from under cabinet lighting to just changing out, you know, your standard chandeliers and stuff. We are fully capable. We carry scaffolding. We have very tall, capable ladders that allow us to go approximately 24 foot in the air to take care of those large foyer and entryway chandeliers that you might have a need for in a home. Full network of suppliers that if there's something that maybe you have an idea about, but you're not sure if it's easily available or in today's, you know, post-COVID supply chain issues, whether or not you can actually get access to it, we have a network that we utilize and we can track down those hard to find items for you as well.
Good deal. Do you have a specific price price list for like things like changing out ceiling fans, or you mentioned a chandelier, or any of those kinds of things? Or should people just give exceptional electrical contractors a call and let you bid it out?
We can do specific, you know, pricing for, you know, small jobs, but a lot of times it's just easier if the client reaches out to us. There's certain factors that a lot of times homeowners don't consider, like, again, you know, the height of their ceiling. When we're working at great height for the safety of everybody, we'd like to have two technicians just to be able to safely hoist up, those heavier fixtures or work at those higher elevations. And that, the pricing on that, obviously, when you send two guys versus one is different. And also, you know, homeowners may not be necessarily aware of what's involved in getting the wiring, you know, to their new area that they would like to have a fixture. You know, it's very simple if you're just simply replacing a ceiling fan with a ceiling fan, because all the existing wiring is already there. But if you're trying to perhaps put a fixture where there's not any sort of electrical connection present, then obviously there's going to be adding switches and running wiring and that sort of stuff. And it's just easier for us to come out and give you a fair and accurate estimate, because the last thing we want to do is show up and then tell you that, you know, what we quoted you was incorrect and the price is actually going to be substantially higher. Yeah. So we'd rather avoid that situation up front and just come out and see what your scope of work is and give you a fair and accurate estimate right up front.
Can you think of any what some of the more challenging projects that exceptional electrical contractors has been involved with? For instance, you work on an older home that has like the knob and tube wiring and things like that. What are some of those challenging projects?
Yes, Tim, we often find that, you know, some of the work that we do requires to be permitted, and we are fully licensed and insured and can pull those permits with the local authorities having jurisdiction, whether it's your local town or if you're in the county. We can take care of that for you and getting that stuff permitted. We can also, you know, as you do that, some things that we've run into, older homes built in the 60s, some of them have aluminum wiring, which is actually a very significant fire hazard. And we've had to unfortunately tell people that called us in to do a small electrical job that, you know, unfortunately their entire house was really unsafe and needed to be rewired with copper wire instead of the aluminum to make it just a safer for the entire family and residents. So
Those were kind of like done, fires waiting to happen then, huh?
Yes, sir, they are. They really are. And so we've had to deal with those. Knob and tube wiring, again, is, like you said, is very unsafe. We want to go ahead and get rid of that. We've done those. We've done some older homes. Those are a lot of fun because, you know, you get to see the history in the home. But as you, a lot of times as you're doing the work, you discover something that you weren't necessarily expecting to find behind the walls. And it makes it a challenge, but, you know, we, again, we have that adaptability and, you know, the experience that from where we come from that, you know, we can deal with those situations and, mm-hmm. and turn something that maybe if you were trying to do it as a DIY project that might really derail your project or really send your budget spiraling out of control, to keep, you know, to know how to deal with that and to know how to do it fast and effectively and not have your whole budget blown to bits. Yeah. So,
and if you've ever had a squirrel who's decided to make your home their home, or maybe another kind of rodent, they love to chew on that electrical wiring, don't they?
Oh yes, they do. They can make a huge mess out of your electrical wiring in your attic or in your crawl space. Yeah. And again, that's just a fire hazard waiting to happen once they get that conductor exposed where the electricity can come in contact with a flammable material. That's all it takes.
Right. Right. Well, I'm going to give our listeners a chance to grab a pen and a paper and write down your number, because having been a homeowner for many, many years, the one thing I've learned is you've got to have a really good go-to plumber, and you've got to have a really good go-to electrician, because over the years you're going to be in touch with them. You're going to call them. And so, you know, we have a lot of newcomers to the Charleston area. Why not make Jason Rose, U.S. Air Force veteran with exceptional electrical contractors, your go-to electrician? Go ahead and give your contact information, Jason.
Yes, Tim. My cell phone to reach us at is 843-813-5393. You can call or text that number, or you could email me at jasonr@eec-sc.com.
All right. And you can always find exceptional electrical contractors on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with electrical contractor Jason Rose with Exceptional Electrical Contractors. Thanks so much, Jason.
Thank you, Tim, and you have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.